So, Heavenly Father, we thank you today. We thank you that the love and kindness that is in Jesus is ours. You've given it to us. You have freely given us all things. Lord, what a grace this is. And today we've come to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. Father, teach us, we pray, we ask, by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2, in your Holy Bible. Basic instructions before leaving earth. Jesus, don't leave earth without him. My benefit plan's out of this world. Riches of glory in heaven awaits. It's pretty exciting stuff. First Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter 2. Isn't that right, Alex? 1 Peter 2:25. There you go. Good man. Looks at me. All right. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. We continue our study through 1 Peter. And I remind you, as we have begun this study about the instructions of the Word of God, that we, being born of God, are to be holy as God is holy. And in that instruction, again, maybe a bit of surprise that after all that I've done, I could be made holy is quite a revelation of the true working of God that only He can do. And just put your name in there for yourself, that you can say that after all I've done, or after all you've done, you could be made holy. And being made partakers of His holiness through this gospel of Jesus Christ, even as I would bring this forth, some wonderful truth today, I believe. And I've entitled today the ABCs of growing in Jesus. The ABCs of growing in Jesus. A, B, C, the ABCs of growing in Jesus. There's this really great old technology called pen and paper that you can just jot these things down really quick. You need me to pray? Didn't I pray? I didn't pray right away? We didn't pray? What did I do? I just started reading? Are you sure I didn't pray? No, I just said this. Who said I prayed?
You did.
Okay. So get this. Okay, I'll acquiesce. The A of the ABCs is Amen. So that's what, there you go, Peter. All right. So Heavenly Father, we call upon you today. Lord, thank you for what you've given us in prayer. Thank you for the grace that abounds in Jesus. Amen. That prayer's for Peter. Now I've prayed for Peter. There we go. All right. Wherefore? Okay, so you come into this place, I believe, of something that it's very clear. Newborn babes, the instruction, wherefore? This takes you back to the thought that Peter was bringing forth, being born again. I've been born again, right? If you, however you want to say that. But you'll notice this truth that lays out here in the Scriptures. It starts in verse 19 of chapter 1, that you've been bought with the blood of Christ. So we're bought, been born again, and brought into the body of Christ. ABCs today. ABCs of growing in Jesus. And as I bring this forth in this way, I remind you, when you see this phrase, wherefore laying aside all malice, the truth is that when you're born again, that old nature doesn't die. See, it would be very nice if we had a much cleaner transition from the old life to the new life, where you would say, now that I've been born again, the old life's just completely gone. No, God in His wisdom leaves that in there so that you always know the difference between what it was to follow that nature that you received from the vain tradition of your fathers. That's what Peter was talking about. Describe that life that after your natural birth, the natural order of things, the sin that was just in you, That sin that was in you, guess what? It's still there. So when you're born of God and when you're born of him, that place of making this good decision, that this natural life, as this instruction comes, after that corruptible seed, that natural life will die. Here's the truth. You will die one day. It's appointed unto man to die once. I think women, too, die once. It's appointed unto mankind to die once, and afterwards, the judgment before God. And if you call upon your Father, who will reward every one of you, you look at verse 17 of chapter 1. Again, this wherefore lets me do whatever I want to do before this. You understand that? In fact, it requires us to go back and understand. 1 Peter 1:17 says, if you call on the Father who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear, whatever time you have left. Now that you're born of him, born again, born after the incorruptible seed of the word of God that has been brought forth to you by the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you have believed God. You've believed this truth that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. That makes you a sinner who needed to be saved. And that wonderful truth of description here that you've been bought, born again, and we'll get on to this brought into the body of Christ, but it begins here in the ABCs of growing in Jesus. 1 Peter 1:17, prayer. Call upon the Father. This beautiful thing that has been brought into it, and I forgot my prop today, but it's a bottle of honey, and at the sweetness of prayer, the A of the Amen, the beginning of the ABCs, is to learn just how wonderful and sweet and how gracious God is, that you could call upon the Father at any given time, that through Christ Jesus, you've been given access to a throne of grace. See, when you stand before him later, that'll be the judgment seat of Christ, the bema, the rewards for those things that you've done as a Christian. The things that were not of him will burn away. The things that remain will pass through into that reward of heaven. Now, when the unbeliever stands before the great white throne of judgment, they'll have a much different experience. Those names who are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be cast into hell. When we describe this wonderful truth, now that you are born again, what do you do? Well, as a newborn babe, what do? You got to get into the Word of God. But before you get there, a decision has to be made. So when Peter describes here in verse 1, and this is the Holy Spirit teaching us in the beginning, the basics, if you will, the ABCs, if it is about the Word of God, the Word of the Lord endures forever, the verse right before verse 1, the last thought was the Word of the Lord endures forever. Well, what's the building blocks of words? Well, letters. The building blocks of words are letters. That this would be set forth in such a way. We talk to our children long before they ever spoke to us. Okay, think that one through a little bit about your Father in heaven who initiated, who spoke, how the Word of God speaks clearly. He spoke in various ways in various times past by the prophets, but has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. You might catch Radio God has been on. Right? The hearing of man has been off and on. This is the truth of what we come to in these building blocks. And I lay it out in this way. I've already introduced the ABCs, the sweetness of prayer. I have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Verse 3. We, again, ye, plural, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. We have honey, and if we ever had a song, Grace Like Honey, that might be more accurate to describe the sweetness of just how gracious God has been to us in Christ Jesus. That if you would take the taste of God's word in the beginning of this, of how sweet prayer is, certainly we get right on to the B, the ABCs, you need the Bible. You need the Bible, the sweetness of God's word. The association as the taste, tasting that the Lord is gracious. How do you read your Bible? Do you read your Bible now under the law of Moses? Do this and you'll die. That's the law of Moses. Don't do this and you won't die. Law of Moses. The law came by Moses. I don't know if it was such for you, but it certainly was for me. I was preached the Ten Commandments and then I memorized them and I was confirmed into nothing, but I still knew the Ten Commandments. See? A law unto themselves that has passed from the Old Testament has crossed into the New, but yet the Bible reveals that we have all received of his grace. And of his grace that we have received, this grace and truth that is in Jesus, I'm here to let you know today, I've tasted that the Lord is gracious. The grace of God. So I need the Bible. See, this truth of the ABCs, the Word of God. I didn't know the Word before. Now that I've come to Christ Jesus and I believed the Word of His gospel, I believed the Word of God, I received that what God has said is life for me. I need the ABCs, and it begins in prayer. The Bible's revealed that there is a wonderful privilege that you can talk to your Father at all times. Now, something my wife and I did raising our children, we read to them while they were still on the inside, right? We would purposefully read books. We would speak, and then when they came out, we continued to talk and to read, and we had one goal in mind. We want them to know our voice. We wanted our children to learn our voice, and then we wanted them to understand what we were saying. In other words, we wanted a meaningful relationship with them. And that place of understanding, when we come to this, the ABCs, I'm taking up the A in prayer, A. Any Canadians here? And yeah, there was a Canadian A, right? The B, the ABCs, the Bible. But there's something in the way. Look at verse 1 with me. Wherefore? What's in the way? That old nature, that corruptible seed, the root. When I was rooted into the world and I thought I was living life, only to find out when I received the gospel, I was a sinner on a path that led to death. In fact, I wasn't spiritually alive. I needed to be born again after the incorruptible seed of God that remains forever. So as I receive the incorruptible seed, I still have a problem that affects the love of God. If you go back and look at verse 22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. The truth is, as a sinner, I needed my soul refined. It was dirty, if you will. It was the way our Lord taught. It's not that which goes into a man which defiles him. It's that which comes out. For out of the heart, you have all this wickedness within. I have no problem saying that I was wicked. Now, I've purified my soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. What's still in the way? Now, my soul's purified. I understand I've received the Word of God. That's going to endure forever. I'm born again. I'm newly, right, to this. As a believer, I've now received God's Word. What's in the way before I can get to the Bible? Well, sin. Sin is in the way. Now, many times I'll use this as a discipleship tool, but it really is the basics of growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, is that sin will keep you from the Bible. And the Bible will keep you from sin. The way that Peter describes this, laying aside, putting it off. You've received the Word, you're born again. That old nature, you have to make a decision to agree with God that old life that I used to live that was rooted in sin, it must be put off. The way that Paul describes that, putting off the old man, putting on the new, Peter here is saying the same thing. By the Holy Spirit, the instructions of growing in grace begin with the basics, if you will, the ABCs, and this is where prayer comes in. I need help laying aside all malice. The instruction is, wherefore, lay aside all malice. I'm calling upon the Father, whom I called upon to save me. I've been bought with a price. Jesus saved me. It's His work. It's His cross. He offered. I believed and received. And now this prayer doesn't end there, but it picks up right there. Many times when I'm taking new believers through the 8 Bible studies we do, the first one is about believing the gospel. And I want to get them on to number 3, where they learn how the Word of God is given to help them resist temptation and sin and to find out these difficulties, trials. Wherefore, laying aside all malice. Get this one, malice. That which is in me that will intentionally harm another and not care about it. Think that through. Like, oh yeah, that was me. Even in the body of Christ, many times what we're coming to is just simple, basic things of the ABCs. In order for me to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, I have to follow the beginning instructions of the Word. Put away lying. Okay, that's what Paul tells the Ephesian church. And speak the truth one to another. Here Peter says, put away malice. I love Romans 6, 7, and 8. Save my life. Transformed my mind, renewed me, saved me. The sin that was in me that was entrenched, I was a slave to it. I gave myself to it when I was younger, and then it ruled over me. 6:16. Romans 6:16, saved my life. Next Sunday, 1 o'clock, water baptism. right? We're doing a water baptism. Now, I've got one, but if you've never been water baptized as a believer, okay? And when you were an infant, there's no way you could have believed and received the gospel. And nobody else can believe and receive it for you. So a lot of times I'll come alongside and pick up those who have had water sprinkled upon them as babies. Not this babes who desire the milk of the word, babies after the natural order, never believed and received. So just let me know. And in preparation for that, do study number 8 on the website. And if you don't know how to get there on that, come talk to me. I'll lead you right to that. And then Romans 6, verses 1 through 13. And you can get ready to be water baptized. Why water baptism? Well, because Jesus said to do it. What an amazing concept. What an amazing concept. Laying aside all malice. What do we say when we do water baptism? That old nature that's in me dies with Christ. Whatever malice, guile, hypocrisies, envies, and evil speaking I had, they die with Christ. It's that place of putting away. Not that the water can do that. Now, sometimes I joke around with those men that are now friends. They've gotten saved and they have a particular sinful past. They say, how long do I have to hold you under? But you'll notice here in verse 1, verse 1 is not about works. Verse 1 is simply saying what? Putting it off. Like a dirty garment, like a soiled diaper of a baby. You never leave a dirty diaper on a baby. This place of where Peter takes us back to this been born again, and he says, that which has defiled your life was malice. That which was in you that just did wrong to others. And you didn't even care about it. Didn't think about it. Guile. The deceit. Just put away the deceiving. The wanting to be better than you really are, or the hardness of your heart because of the deceitfulness of sin. Deceiving and being deceived. Deceived and deceiving others. Put away the guile and hypocrisies. And the practice of saying one thing, doing another. Put that off. And then envies, when someone else has received good or has received blessing or has been honored, that you, with envies, would say, that should have been me. I don't know why they're getting that. And then evil speakings. I don't think I have to explain that, but it's when we would speak evil of another. Now, lay it out this way for us. And again, here's the context for me, the ABCs, the sweetness of the Bible. In order for me to get to the Bible, I have to remove the deceit that's in my heart. How do I do that? Jesus, help me. Guile, deceit, envies. You notice they're plural, hypocrisies, envies. So when you make one victory, like, yeah, that was a sin of envy, and somebody else got to do this, and why did they get that and I didn't? And you'll notice that hypocrisies, envies, and evil speakings are plural. That means you'll be doing this. How many times does a baby eat in a day? How many times does a baby cry in a day? Now you get the context that Peter's bringing to us. I might be doing this over and over. I might recognize, especially as I first start walking with the Lord, been born again, and that place of getting to the scriptures, all of a sudden I realize that I'm born again of that holy life that's in Jesus is now in me, and the Spirit of God within is compelling to love and to walk after Jesus, and I've got this problem of deceit and anger and hatred and jealousy and envies, and I had to put that off. As newborn babes. Now, you'll notice here in verse 2 where he says, as. This is given unto us by the Holy Spirit for us to gain that understanding of exactly how we are when we first have received and believed this gospel, when we've been born of God. And he says, as newborn babes. And he's giving that example unto us so that we can see that everyone, there is not a one who gets there without coming to that. You must be born again. You must become as a little child in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. This is not a college degree. This is not the book learning after the methods of man. Because there have been many who have sought to study after this word of God in a way. But the way that you come to this is believing and receiving. And having come to it in that way as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. Now, some of your versions might say the pure milk of the word. And you might confuse that with verse 22, and you say, purified your souls. Well, that purified in verse 22, that is, I have been refined. Okay, that which was in me, the fire of God has burned away my sin. That kind of idea of purifying your souls. This word here for sincere milk, or maybe say pure milk of the word, in description is that which is, maybe in English would be unadulterated, meaning it's milk. Milk is milk. There's nothing else in there. In the way of describing the word of God, it's this, the word of God without deceit. Now, Paul writes to the church, and he says, we're not as those who handle the word of God deceitfully. The King James translates that, we don't peddle the word of God. We don't take the word of God and dress it up and add to it. Now, this is this part of church that we're going to get onto these ABCs, but I introduce it here. Our commitment here is not to add to the word of God, nor to take away from the word of God. And this is an important place as you come to, I want to grow in Jesus. I want to grow thereby, as it's described, as newborn babes. Desire the sincere milk of the word. Now, interestingly enough, as a baby who their entire nourishment is milk from their mom, that means that their mom has eaten food and nutrients and vitamins and vegetables and hot fudge sundaes and cookies and steak and that whole thing. And the mom makes milk for the baby. This word of God, that as you have this understanding, in laying off the root of the corruption of sin that was in me before, putting off that root of sin and now being born again in Him, I need the word of God. I need the sincere milk of the word. And you think of that milk of the word, it may be that initially that word comes as you sit in church and you have another who has taken in the word of God and partially digested this and then takes the word and you eat it like milk. Milk is food. Right? We drink it, but it's what? It's food. It has all those nutrients. You could live on milk alone. Now, the thought here, as Peter's describing that, it's very right in the beginning to have all these questions. What is this? What does this mean? How does this work? Who is Jesus? What did He do? It's the Spirit who teaches, but it's one who comes alongside, and the sincere milk of the Word helps you digest what you're reading. Do you understand that? Think of Philip, right? Leaving this flourishing ministry of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Samaria, resisting Simon the sorcerer, right? Again, that whole thing. And he leaves to go out to the desert to find the one who had come up to Israel, to Jerusalem, and didn't find Jesus. And Philip was sent there, and he overtakes the chariot. And as he does that, here the eunuch is reading out of the book, the scroll of Isaiah. And as he's reading, and he's like, is the prophet talking about himself or about another? And at that point, Philip gave him the milk of the word. Help you understand what that is? Then Philip explained to him how Jesus, how the Messiah, how Christ must come, how the Messiah would suffer and die. And at that point, he preached Christ. When we come to this place of understanding that this is for everyone, of all times, of all intellectual level, those that can't read still can be saved and be taught the Word of God. That this is not about commentaries and seminaries, and it's not about that. Where Peter goes, he says, newborn babes, desire the sincere. The word there literally is this, no guile. The word that's guile in verse 1, now no deceit. That's the literal word for sincere. That you may grow, increase, abound, have evidence in your life that you're growing, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And I like the analogy here, the tasting of the Lord in the context of I've been saved by grace. And then as you start to read the word, and this is why many times I'll get new believers onto the book of Ephesians. And just start going right through the book of Ephesians and tasting, tasting how gracious the Lord is unto us. Now, let's get back to the title here. A is for Amen, B is for Bible. C is for church. It would be a strange thing to think that a baby being born would be put out of the house. Hear that? It would be very strange for parents to have a baby and do immediately with that baby, say, okay, there you go. In much the same way of what God has given and what Peter writes to us, he writes this truth. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You'll notice that as he begins to talk about the church in verses 4 through 10, which is where we'll wrap up today, 4 through 10, it's not the emphasis on the church of Jesus, it's the emphasis of Jesus of the church. And it begins here in this phrase, coming to him, to whom coming. Or coming to him. Have you heard him? If you've heard him, his call was, come to me. Right? That, as you hear the gospel, the call is, come to Jesus. To him coming, that means that each and every babe in Christ, each and every part of the body of Christ, has a direct relationship unto the cornerstone. As you read this, it says, to whom coming as unto a living stone. That living stone is the reference of Christ Jesus, again, fulfilling prophecy, but with a depth now that I would describe unto you. Peter begins with the milk of the word. So you look at the context of 1 Peter chapter 2 and what it meant to be born again in chapter 1, what it meant to receive the pure word of God, the incorruptible word of God, that when you believe and receive it can bring forth that eternal life in Christ Jesus. And what he describes, that putting off of the old nature and getting onto the Word of God, that the Word in you will transform and change you. The Word in you will nourish, cause you to grow. The Word in you begins as milk. And as newborn babes, I think last time I checked, newborn babes, it's about every hour and a half that they'll be eating. They can't eat a lot at a time, but they eat often. So this place of coming to whom coming as unto a living stone, here begins the milk of the word. The instructions of who Jesus is, and where Peter starts in the milk of the word, having an understanding that Jesus is the living stone. And you think of it, there's no stone that lives in this natural realm that you'd ever say has any life. No breath of life. There's no stone that's, we don't even think that a stone is alive. So Peter immediately takes this spiritual book called the Bible, this Word of God, and he partially has digested a wonderful truth, that Jesus is the rock. He's the living stone. He can call upon this truth of this life now for a babe in Christ, saying, the very first thing you need to understand, you've come to the living stone. Or in the words of Daniel's prophecy, a stone cut out of the mountain made without hands. Supernatural. The rock that followed them in the wilderness, that rock was Christ. When Moses struck the rock and water flowed out, living water out of a dead rock? No, that's a living stone. That rock was Christ. See, as Peter has partially digested this truth and he's giving the milk of the word here in 1 Peter chapter 2, you've come to the one who can save you. When Jesus asked the question, who do men say that I am? Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah or one of the prophets. And then he gets on to this, but who do you say that I am? And then Peter declares, again being revealed by the Father, that he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus' words to Peter, he says, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, is the rock, living stone. See, this type of teaching, this is milk of the word. But you'll notice immediately that in using examples in the natural realm together with what God has said, Peter now can bring forth in this one phrase, Jesus, the Messiah, is the living stone. You've been saved by the Messiah. You've come to him as unto a living stone, as newborn babes, as unto a living stone. This is the milk of the word. You receive it, and it nourishes you. I've come to Jesus. He's the living stone. Second truth that we need is that he was rejected by men. This is this wonderful truth, because it's not a fairy tale life. Every fairy tale that I ever read in volume 3 of the World Book Encyclopedias that my parents bought in 1974, that was the edition that they spilled out all this money to get these encyclopedias. What is that, 19 years before the internet? Something like that? I would read these, that's all I read. I was 4 or 5 years old. We'd read the fairy tales. And it always came out, it always ended up happily ever after. But here's the truth. Jesus, the Son of God, has come into the world, and many rejected him. This is the beginning of this sincere milk of the word. This living stone disallowed indeed of men. They rejected that he is who he said he is. They rejected that he is the one. They rejected that he is the cornerstone. They rejected him, but chosen of God, the Messiah, anointed. So these ABCs today, about growing in Jesus, it's the grace of prayer, the grace of the Word of God, the grace of church, if you will, or always believe Christ. You can take that one with you today too. Or if you really want one, take Amen for prayer, B for Bible, and C for church, and take Psalm 119 verses 1 through 8 for the Aleph for prayer, and pray Psalm 119, 1 through 8, and then take the instruction of what the word is in Psalm 119, 9 through, what is that, 9, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 for prayer. And then for Gimel, for C, right, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. And you have the ABCs all tucked away in Psalm 119. If you want more grace, if you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, I did that this morning. I'm like, look at this. And I just intrigued that God would put it in like this. I have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Coming to him, that's what we did. Jesus of the church. Every babe in Christ comes to this place. I've come to him, and he's the living stone. A rock that is out of this world, that has entered into this world, that is alive, that out of him has flown rivers of living water. That was what was taught in the wilderness, that Jesus has brought forth life, that one identification that Peter wants you to understand is that living stone. You come to him, he's chosen of God, and then from God's perspective, precious. Cast aside by man, but to God chosen and precious. Ye also as lively stones. So just as he is alive. So again, very important for us to say how this really works is that I was formerly dead, now I'm alive. I was a dead rock. Right? In regards to that, my life was not going to heaven. I was born dead, if you will. A dead stone. It wasn't until I received Jesus that I could be brought into the house or the temple of God. And this milk of the word requires us to then have someone who has studied this, walked with Jesus, like Peter, who was instructed to tend the sheep, to care for the little lambs, who could take the word and then provide that nourishment of the milk of the word. Now, if you're wondering what our children do in children's ministry here, they study the Bible. We bring them the Word of God at their level. This truth that is here, we do this for the adults. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. The idea of there being a temple and a need to have a sacrifice to offer up unto the God that you are worshiping. Here, Peter describes in this truth that Jesus is the living stone, and when we're born of him, we also, as lively stones, are built up in a spiritual house. We're built together in Jesus. This milk of the word, you'll notice that Peter is talking about the church. And how many today, when they're saved, like think that they don't need to be in church? Where did they get that idea? Did they ever get that idea that a newborn babe is just put out? See, how about us who, when someone comes to the Lord, are you going to them to bring them into the body of Christ? Remember that. Bought, born again, brought into the body of Christ. It's not optional. And this, as lively stones are built up into a spiritual house, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That not only that part about being holy, like how could I be holy, but now this could be pleasing and acceptable unto God. What do I have to offer? The sacrifice. Because the sacrifice has already been done. Jesus' death on the cross, the blood sacrifice, that's already done. Well, what then, now that I've come to him and he's the stone and has lively stones, what do I have to offer up? I have that to offer up is the sacrifice of praise of my lips. You do realize what we did today from about 10 o'clock to 10:30, somewhere in there, was acceptable to God as a sacrifice of our praise in the house of God by the lively stones that are placed in this house of God. Wherefore, it is also contained in the scripture. So you'll notice Peter here is taking the milk of the word. He's done the heavy lifting. This is who Jesus is. And you use that phrase, living stone, that phrase will show up what was written in the Old Covenant. In other words, before Jesus came, the Word of God already revealed that he would come. You can see evidence of this, that God has revealed this. It's contained in the scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." Again, I think many times we say, not be ashamed. And so, in order for Jesus to have his church, in order for him to have his assembly, in order for him to have people that are brought to God, he bought them, he purchased the blood price, then he when through the preaching of the gospel, receiving the Spirit, they're born of him, born again, and then he brings them in and places them in his assembly, and he's the chief cornerstone. He had to die and rise again. The chief cornerstone of, again, setting of that after the resurrection from the dead, that Jesus is born from the dead, the firstborn from the dead. The truth that now he came as a man, died, and rose again, that's that lively stone. Now you can set the corner, a chief cornerstone. And we're not talking about the earthly temple, we're talking about the temple of the body of Christ, milk of the word. This is where Peter starts. To see that you as a Christian are a part of Christ. And he's the chief cornerstone. And again, anything of understanding with regards to using a building concept, the truth is there. You set the corner. If you set the corner in the right spot, then every other stone in that building can be set in place. And they need to be rightly related to the corner. And as I describe this wonderful truth that works together when we describe the body of Christ, Jesus is the head, then every member of the body is rightly related to the head. None of this, there's no hierarchy. There's no vicar here on earth. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The cornerstone is set, then all these lively stones are set in the house of God, the temple of God, the spiritual house. It's contained in Scripture. I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. Jewish Messiah in Zion. Pray for the peace of Israel. Love Israel. Satan's broadcasting his hatred through the lies and deceiving and running rampant in this world, but we have a voice. Right? When it says Jesus is the lively stone, chief cornerstone, lay in Zion, he's of Israel. Elect, precious. You know, again, chosen by God, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. If this world hates you, don't be surprised if they hate you. What does Jesus say? Hated me first. Now's the time, church, not to be well liked of this world. Okay? If there ever was a time. So for new believers, right, that's one of the hardest things. What? I come to Christ and people don't like me anymore. My friends don't like me. I'm telling them about Jesus and they don't like me now. See, this is why this milk of the word is there. Been brought into church. I believe on Jesus. I won't be ashamed. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient. So again, those are opposites, right? Children of the light, children of the dark, right? Children of the day, children of the night, believers, unbelievers, children of disobedience, children of obedience. Listen, children of obedience are not appointed under wrath. This quickly takes this truth of having received, believed and received Jesus. He's the chief cornerstone. I'm now rightly related to him. I'm placed in his church, right? It's a spiritual house being built up together. And this phrase is true that I've believed and received him. He's precious to me. But unto them which are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Verse 8, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Psalm 118, verse 22. Is that right? 18:22, or is it Psalm 118:26? Someone read that this morning. I should have a note here somewhere. The stone which the builders refused has become the head stone of the corner. This truth of the cornerstone, stone of stumbling, rock of offense, the living stone, stumbled at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. It's one of the most wonderful truths that we must come to. And it's this. Not all people born into this world are children of God. Describing this truth as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, and you find out the very first milk of the word is taught about how Jesus of the church is the stone which was prophesied in the scripture that you could know he's the one. The same is made the head of the corner. The builders rejected him, and this truth that Israel has stumbled at him, a rock of offense. They don't believe him. You think of how many in the world now today don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And this is good for us in that beginning place of the milk of the word to understand that the children, they being disobedient to Jesus, being disobedient to the word that is Jesus, whereunto they were appointed. Because they did not believe, they're appointed unto wrath. But ye, verse 9, are a chosen generation. Now, when we really consider what the Lord's giving today in the milk of the word, the sweetness of prayer, the sweetness of the Bible, and the sweetness of church, and what it means to be brought into the body of Christ and placed there through faith, believing and receive Jesus, that he is the living stone, he is the Messiah, that he's the Christ. Those who are disobedient are appointed unto stumbling. And in that disobedience, they will go to hell. But ye are a chosen generation. Now you look at these phrases. This is church. This is milk of the word. This is those that are brought in. This a chosen generation. A chosen people of God. Royal priesthood, kings and priests of our God, a holy nation. Again, of every tribe, tongue, people, nation of the world, God has separated for himself a holy people, a peculiar people. And we usually forget about chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, because we get onto peculiar people, and that tickles us a bit, that we get to be weird. And we can joke about. But the wonderful thing in this milk of the word is this. A peculiar people is you are his. The understanding of the word is you're his property, you're his possession. That goes back to being bought, being redeemed from your sin, being purchased, and you're his own. God chose, right? He chose us, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Now, that should be enough to cause us to awaken up and say, hey, there's something different in Jesus' church than there ever was under the law. Under the law, no one would ever have the office of king and priest. Melchizedek, as a forerunner of the type of Christ, Book of Hebrews describes how he was king and priest of Jerusalem. And when Abraham came back from victory, Melchizedek, king of righteousness, brings out bread and wine, all foreshadowing of us partaking of Christ. This milk of the word, these things partially digested so that they can be brought to you so you can understand. I'm his, a royal priesthood, kings and priests, a holy nation. That work that God does when he saves you, he makes you holy. He sets you apart. This peculiar people, it is simply, they're his. And I love these phrases like, I am his and he is mine. But the emphasis is not, it's not the church of Jesus. The emphasis here is Jesus of the church. I'm his church, his possession. And this is the emphasis of a chosen generation. Don't overlook these. A priesthood, that royalty and priesthood, that we have something to offer up. We have something, we reign with Christ, and then we have something to offer up in that worship, that which is acceptable to him. And verse 9 tells you what it is. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, a great work has happened here for us as church to awake out of our sleep and to come out of darkness and into the light. And we're still reaping the benefits of living that way of, as Christians who had gone back to darkness, said, I can't live that way. I've got to come to the light and now walk in the armor of light. But this is the beginning of the understanding. He called me out of darkness and into his marvelous light to sing the praises of him, or if you will, a peculiar people. So again, some alliteration here. A peculiar people that are preserved. That's part of that property. I'm preserved in Christ. I'm a property, a possession. I've obtained salvation. It's a great word. A peculiar people that proclaims the praises of him who saved me and called me out of darkness into light. Now, what is our worship? Isn't that what we did today? No. I can't say that it began at 10 and ended at 10:30 because I saw the praises of God going up. For me, it started about the time I woke up, once I cleared my head a little bit, and began to proclaim the praises of him who called me out of darkness into his light. This wonderful truth of praising God. Praising God. How do I answer my phone? Praise the Lord. I love what Pastor Chuck would describe on the science of talking to your plants or singing, and what it is like. Even the plants, and he described one. He had a plant in the house. It was a fern, and outside his house, every day he'd come out of the house, he'd say, "Praise the Lord, fern." And he says, "I've never had a more luscious and fruitful fern." Now, I'm just going to lay this out for us here, Calvary Chapel Fargo. This is us. We are this simple here and single. We've tasted that the Lord is gracious. He has put a song in our hearts. He has given us a praise. We are not complicated here. Oh, we chew on the Word of God. We get past the milk. We grow up. But I always like some milk with my steak. Yeah, I think isn't that kind of the thought? I'm not a milk drinker from way of old. But you get where we even say, even when I'm chewing on steak, what do we want? I always want to know that the milk of the word has never changed. I've tasted that the Lord is gracious, that it really is that secure. Right? It really is that secure in Christ that I've been bought with a price and I'm his property and I'm his possession. I've tasted that the Lord is gracious. To proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, our worship should reflect, our praise and our lives should reflect that wonderful truth, which in time past were not a people. Now, verse 10, not a people, had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. This ties together with that peculiar people up above that have obtained, and now Peter reminds us, in time past were not a people. Book of Hosea. book of Hosea, named his kids, not mine, and no mercy. Speaking of Israel having gone away from their God, he says to Hosea, marry a woman of prostitution. Again, taking his life and describing that's how God was with Israel, and that they had turned their back on God, and they had not received mercy, and they were not God's people. But I like what Peter describes to us here, and this is why this is about us in the body of Christ. This is about the church. This is about, we've tasted that the Lord is gracious, we're born of him, and desiring that sincere milk of the word, is I've been brought into something. I've come to Christ, and I'm a part of Christ. And just as he is the cornerstone of where all the people of God now dwell, the church, the dwelling, called out of the world into Christ, ecclesia. That's what church means. This building's not the church, but he uses building terminology to help us understand how he's the cornerstone, how this wonderful beginning of the basics of prayer and the Bible and church, and how he brings us in, that he's the cornerstone, and as we're relating to him, he's chosen us as a people of God, and one of the things that he has given us to do is to praise him. Thursday morning this last week, like I do, a cup of coffee on my chair, lights on, begin to pray and devote my life to God like I've been doing for the last 25 years of my life. An hour or two every morning in the most important relationship. It is that simple, the ABCs. What do I do in that time frame? I read my Bible and pray. And it got to the point where I'm just asking Edward, what do you have to say? And I still want to listen to him, you know, because that's that part of prayer. So just like when we had our children and we did all the talking, we did all the reading, all the talking, we did all the instruction, we, you know, everything was just, it was us saying, when you read your Bible now, and then you read your Bible, stop and listen. God, what do you have to say to me? Because now you can talk to him, and now prayer is talking and listening, and just listening to him. And as I'm waiting to listen to him, all he says to me, did you hear that? I did hear that. What I heard was a bird outside in the tree, right, singing. And the Lord just says to me, you heard that? He says, yeah, that bird is doing exactly what I created them to do. That bird's praising God. So I'm proclaiming the praises of him who called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Well, when did the birds start to sing? The first sign of light. We were in Israel a few years back, staying on the Sea of Galilee. I think it was the local tour, because we weren't staying in like the touristy hotels, and we ended up being on the Sea of Galilee. You could walk down, and a great place to stay. But in the room I was staying in, it was right on the corner, and there was probably 1,000 birds right outside the window at about 4 a.m. proclaiming the praises of God. Now, so what do we do with this? Well, I never want to forget what it is to be a babe in Christ. Never want to forget that I'm a child of God. So what do I do after hearing the bird praise God? Well, the bird doesn't have all the understanding, wisdom, knowledge. Don't worry about the baby crying. They're proclaiming the praises of God. We'll get an interpretation for that. All the moms are trying to figure out whose cry is that. You know which one it is. Oh, they know which one. So what did I do? This is what I offer up. It's this straightforward here. I got up out of my chair. I went outside. And I praised God with the birds, but with the wisdom and understanding, and then praising God with understanding, but I also did something else. I praised God in the Spirit, and I went forth and sang. Well, I just happened to sing one of the songs we sang this morning. I've been singing it for the last 2 weeks. Now, are you Spirit-filled? See? Just shut the doors there, and don't run. Don't run out there. Just shut the doors. We don't have to hear it. Is it your child?
It's my child?
Oh, don't go. Stay. You don't want to miss this. Oh, I tried. She made it quite a few minutes before it was pulled away by the cry. And I went out and praised God in the Spirit, gift of tongues. Not to be on display. Nobody heard me, right? This wasn't to go out and be crazy, but if that bird can sing and praise God, what they're created to do, I'm born again to praise God. Right? And this is that simple, that I went out and just proclaimed the praises of God. And I was singing the song that again, two of them had been in my heart. The Bible says when you're filled with the Spirit, you speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, I just know this to be true, that I describe what in this came into church. You know what I found in church? I found in church the love of God. I found the Word of God. I found prayer. And I found in church a people who were called out of darkness, who were formerly sinners now. And all they could do was praise God. And simply put, being around a group of people that I've tasted that the Lord is gracious. To him who's been forgiven much, they love much. And just going forth to praise, and I was going on my normal course of where I would walk, and I got about a block away, and I could no longer hear the bird, so I turned around. And I'm going to go back and walk. All I did that morning was walk around where the birds were praising God, and I was praising God. And I did that probably all day long, just praising God. Now, what did God create you for? See, remember when our children were born? I gave the hint this morning. Why I told you why we interacted the way we did as we had those 9 months waiting for them to come. For the last one, the doctor said, I won't see you next week. And he waited and he waited and he waited till right on time. We still wait for him. But in all that waiting is that preparation. It's like, you know what? When they come out, the first thing I'm going to do is love on them. Kiss them and love on them and speak to them. We've been talking all along. So let's think what I'm born again, right? God made mankind to have meaningful, loving fellowship with his creation. Made in the image of God. You don't have that. God doesn't have a meaningful, loving relationship with the birds. He still cares for them, and they're made to praise him. But this is where when you recognize sin is what destroyed mankind, and so when you come to faith in Christ Jesus, and you're washed and you're purified, you restore in Christ Jesus that reason and in that relationship God has and desires and has made provision that you can have that meaningful relationship with God. I've been made for fellowship with God. Now, when I describe this in this context, this is church here. What is our worship? If you haven't figured it out, it's not performance. It's praise. Worship, proclaiming God. Jesus of the church, this wonderful thing that I'd hand off to you. Yes, your pastor walks around the streets of Fargo praising God. Right? And then if you find me at my work, guess what I'm doing there? Praising God. I think sometimes when I call some people, they hang up so that when they call me back, they can hear me say, praise the Lord. When my pastor calls me and I say, praise the Lord, he says, I am. What are you saying that to me? I am praising him. I just offer this up to you. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? You know. Nobody else maybe knows that about you as a believer, but you know. You know if you've been baptized with the Spirit. You know that if you have a song in your heart unto God all day long. You know if you have the fruit of love, joy, and peace. You know if you have the abundance of joy. You know if you have the abundance of life and peace in Christ Jesus. So I just offer this to us today on a Sunday morning as newborn babes and all this desiring the pure milk of the Word and what it means to grow thereby. I say this, grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. So Father in heaven, here we are. Your people have tasted that you are gracious. We, being evil, knew how to give good gifts to our children. We wanted a meaningful relationship with our children. How much more our Father in heaven gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask. It's where we come to today as children, to ask our Father for the Holy Spirit. If living water can come out of the rock under the law in the wilderness to be a foreshadowing that the living water of the Holy Spirit would come out of Jesus after he was smitten, well then, Lord, we come today and ask for that living water to flow. That Jesus being the living stone from which living water flows, we ask for the Holy Spirit in your church upon these lively stones, that the same living water that flowed forth from Jesus to bring life, that living water of Jesus would flow forth from us. We are a peculiar people. We don't fit in anymore in this world because we're not of this world. So we praise you now. We praise you with understanding. We praise you as how we have been born again to praise you. Meaningful relationship with you. Loving relationship. And we praise you in the Spirit. In Jesus' name. Fill us now, we pray.